Welcome to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast, where three friends gather around a table with nothing else to do. As always, I am your host, Zach, and join with me is the fabulous...
Zach.
And the wonderful...
Oh, shit, I can do my taxes now.
That's Steve.
Woo! Taxes!
I just got my user ID for TurboTax. Same. It means I can file my taxes. Fuck yeah.
Maybe I'll get a reforms.
Maybe I'll get a refund this year.
I have a guy for that.
That's what I'm hoping for.
I am my guy.
Yeah, adults. Yeah, adulthood fucking blows.
Yeah.
Taxes. But on the bright side, on this lovely Sunday evening, we're all at this table yet again.
This table.
We have nothing to talk about because nothing happened other than Gail Simone announcing Domino. That she'll be writing Domino, and the current writer for Black Bolt is going to be doing a new Exile series starring Kamala Khan going full Sarah Connor, as well as Blink.
And fucking Chibi Wolverine.
Chibi Wolverine.
Chibi Wolvie is his name, actually.
Chibi Wolvie?
It's actually Wolvie, I think.
I love it.
And Nightcrawler, and I think an Inhuman. Can't remember. And then a mystery character.
Ooh.
But the real reason I gather you guys around the table today, even though Zach's the one who sets up all the recording and publishes everything else.
Every week. Because you never ask us to do anything.
Because you, I would have to teach you.
Okay,
it's way easier for me to do it than teach
someone. The one time he traded it off, I canceled the show. Our D&D in progress that we had two episodes of. That
I gave you one thing, and then it's just like,
no, I canceled it. Well, you know, D&D and us haven't met eye to eye lately.
I bought a fucking dice board, and I haven't got to fucking use it yet. I'm so upset.
You bought a dice board. I fucking built one.
I have Xanathar's Guide to
Everything. I hand-crafted mine, and it's barely been able to be used.
But you did use it.
Hand-crafted
it. Mine has Rat Queens on it.
Mine is Xanathar's Guide to Everything. Mine expansion packs. Yeah.
But anyways.
What did you gather us here for?
So, one of my coworkers invited me. He was like, hey, you play D&D, right? I'm like, yeah. It's like, well, one of my friends wants to do it. He's inviting me. And I don't know what to do. So, we're going to help him make a character. Now, my friend, he's a larger guy, kind of robust.
Is it, what's his face?
Yeah, it's Eric.
Okay.
So, I figured the best character you could play is a gnome. Now, let me give you some backstory.
Naturally.
Because,
you know, class that's regarded as the worst class.
Yeah, exactly.
To play in D&D.
And they're the tiniest. Kayla plays a gnome.
That doesn't mean they're not regarded as the worst class, the worst race to play.
But here's the thing.
Gnome bards are said to be the worst class race combo in all of D&D.
All right. So I came up with two characters. We're going to go over one of them today. Just in case we have nothing to talk about next week.
Good save. So
the character wants to have a tragic backstory. He wants his gnome to be orphaned. So I've gotten... But he doesn't want the parents dead. He wants it to be like part of the backstory. So, but the one big thing is that this gnome character is a gardener. So he's a garden gnome.
Oh my god.
And he's a warlock because warlocks eventually... Look, when you're a warlock, you don't have many choices other than Eldritch Blast. That's the only thing you can ever do. You learn a bunch of other cantrips, but Eldritch Blast is your mainstay. So, we have the garden gnome character. He wanted to be a professional gardener when he was growing up in a small village in the Forgotten Realms. And then he got whisked away. Now, as a warlock, he has to make a magical pact with a god. And we made him come up with Oberon, I think, the fairy god from Shakespeare.
The fairy king.
Yeah, who sends him on a quest to find other people for Oberon to lay with. So right. He's essentially the ultimate wingman character.
Okay, so that is this how he got orphaned? He just got sucked away?
Yeah, so he just got sucked away.
I was going to say, his parents were fucking terrible people and they used him as betting money.
I want to throw a pause on this real quick.
Insert Star Wars spoiler.
Are you just doing Labyrinth?
Is that Labyrinth? I've never seen the movie.
David Bowie plays the Fairy King and kidnaps a baby to raise his own.
Remind me of The Babe.
I've never seen Labyrinth. I think...
This is very Labyrinth-esque, but Kayla... the baby doesn't get saved at the end.
Well, see, at this point, so Kayla when he gets kidnapped, he was like 12. At this point in the story, like years have passed, I'm imagining him in like his mid-20s, because he has to play the wingman character. He has to go to the bars and impress people.
Okay.
I think I have a very slight twist that could make it easier for him to be whisked away.
Okay.
One day while he was gardening, his magical powers manifested, shot an eldritch blast, scaring his parents. So he ran away from home, and that's when he was scooped up.
Oh.
He he ran into a dark forest.
Thought his parents would hate him.
Started hearing voices and then got sucked away by Oberon.
Those damn fae. That's straight out of Shakespeare. All right. See, I was imagining our garden gnome to eat like a magical mushroom in the forest, and that's how
he could still do that. Yeah, he could still do that.
Yeah.
He gets lost in the forest.
He gets lost for a couple days. He gets hungry. He eats the first freaking thing he finds. Starts hallucinating. Yeah, starts hallucinating, but then it's actually Oberon there the whole time. Okay. As I keep hitting things.
It's not me anymore. It's fully transitioned to you punching everything at the setup.
God. Occasionally, I'll kick the table.
Zach tripped over the mixer, too. Yeah. All right, so his parents get scared of his magical ability, or he thinks his parents are going to get scared of his magic ability, so he runs away. He's scared
his parents will hate him because he knows magic, which is kind of frowned... Isn't that frowned upon in the gnome community?
Where's our player's handbook?
Is it the dwarves that hate magic?
It's the dwarves.
The dwarves
hate magic.
We literally have like 3-player handbooks just sitting in our basement.
And I have one on my phone.
Okay. So we're at that point. Now, let's think about the parents. Why would they... How would they be incorporated into his backstory?
Like as in a future storyline?
Because I'm imagining like his parents haven't seen him since he was, you know, wee lad, 12 years old. And, like, he's really nervous because his parents think he's dead, probably. That's the best reasoning, because all they hear is the boom of the eldritch explosion, and now, like, oh my god, our child is dead. Do you think his parents would turn into, like, paladin Templars?
I was thinking that they'd hire, like, a detective or something to try and find him.
There'd have to be some sign that he did run away, that he is alive, that he is out there.
Maybe they like see him like run into the forest after the blast, but they're way too far away, so they can't actually catch up to him.
Okay, so one thing about gnomes, according to our player's handbook, is that gnomes make their homes in hilly wooded lands, so that's perfect for Oberon, and they live underground but get more fresh air than dwarves do. So what I'm thinking now is that the Eldritch Blast like closes a tunnel down in front of him and his parents' home, and that's why he has to run out, because he can't get back home, even. So you're going along the route of,
but,
like...
Okay. But at that point, then what is he gardening, then? Because I would think that he would only garden mushrooms. Unless he goes outside to garden?
I think he goes outside.
Gardening. Okay, so then he's already outside, so you can't really close off a...
That's fair.
...tunnel unless there's, like, an entrance right by his garden.
Okay. Oh, no, yeah, there's forest gnomes.
Of his forest gnomes.
Yeah. So he can use that.
But then he's adept to the forest. I thought the whole point was he gets lost in the forest then.
That's true. Maybe he could be a rock gnome.
Grumpy.
So we're going on the idea that his parents hired detectives to go look for him. I almost want to go along the lines that his parents become paladins to hunt down warlocks and mages.
Oh, God.
Because they killed their baby boy.
Oh, that could be good too. Okay, like, yeah, no evidence, so it looks like a warlock came and killed him.
Oh, okay, I like that.
Ooh, and then he has to have a whole heart to heart with his parents. Right. Like, no, I'm a warlock. Thunder.
Look, man, most gnomes only live to like 500 years of age. So.
So they spent the past 200 years becoming paladin Templars.
The kid never just went back home. He got scared. Interesting. I also have another... the other character I was thinking of was a elf who built a library, and she wanted to retain all of the knowledge in the world. Now, in order to do this, she enchanted a locket that when she puts the locket on, she's able to absorb mass amounts of knowledge and everything else, like her brain originally wouldn't be able to
physically
take that in, kind of like Naruto style, but the locket allows like fast brain regeneration and everything else, but it deletes everything in the past from the moment she puts the locket on.
So up to where she puts it on, she forgets everything.
But if the locket ever comes off, this is the cool part. Like,
she remembers everything.
She remembers her other life. So it's kind of like a Jekyll Hyde situation in that she's either super hardcore intelligent or she's just dumb as a rock. Because I think that would be a fun character to play, too. Other than the idea I came up with upstairs before coming down.
Well, okay. So with that in mind, it's just changing her intelligence. It's not like wiping her memories. So she like
it does.
Oh,
it
wipes her. So you take it off. And it's like, where the fuck am I?
Exactly.
So it's essentially the memories get locked away
inside.
Like, they're not erased. They're just kind of.
Or do like all the memories like. So leading up to where she puts on the locket, and then all the experiences with the locket, those are separate.
Exactly. Oh, so it's. Oh, Lord. The way I imagine it's two separate characters sharing the same body.
So it's essentially
my God, that's
50 first dates in D&D.
It's literally like the anime one of the characters in the anime I'm currently watching. Literally has Garden of Sinners. The main character literally has two separate personalities.
Dude, I'm on a fucking roll today.
So you're essentially describing 50 first dates where she has a whole day of experiences.
That's true.
But because she was in a car accident when she goes to sleep,
right.
She forgets everything and reverts to the day she had the accident.
But so my elf character is, again, it's the two personalities sharing the same body and they share the same name. However, when she has the locket on, she's like a badass wizard throwing spells everywhere. But when she takes the locket off, I imagine her to be like the quintessential Tolkien-esque ranger character. And it's like, but that character's dumb as a rock, like really low wisdom and intelligence scores versus the wizard character.
So
it's like,
so then the,
so the
party, the locket would have like a stat boost then.
Essentially. Or the party has to remind her every day, again, 50 first dates, of, all right, here's how we bring you up to speed. But if she stays in the intelligence mode forever, they don't have to do that. But if the moment she takes the locket off, she's like, who the fuck are all of you? I'm out.
Okay, so where would there ever be a reason for her to take the locket off then? Because your whole point is then it's
so two maybe not a ranger, maybe a thief. Like the only thief in the party.
So if they need a certain set of skills, they take off the locket and activate thief mode.
Yeah.
After giving her the play-by-play.
So then the locket personality knows this.
No.
No?
Two separate memories between whether the locket is on or not.
So then it's just happenstance at that point of when the locket... So it's up to the DM of like, oh, this enemy went to hit you. They miss, but they hit the locket chain and it fell off.
Or it could be up to the party of, like you said, for a thief. Like, we need someone to pick this lock. We need you to take off the locket.
Okay, so the party's aware of this.
Yes.
Okay.
After a while,
so you would
course.
Essentially have to make two character sheets.
Yeah. Well, we've gone over it's how really stupid my characters
that's honestly,
are.
That's I like the idea. That's just really complicated for probably someone beginning D&D.
Yeah. Well, even if maybe I'll take that character, but you heard my idea upstairs, right? You know how like I've been on a roll with all these stupid, crazy, stupid characters.
Yes.
I just turn into a ghost and possess people every session. God. So I'm a different character each episode.
No, please no.
I'd be like the spirit of justice from Dragon Age.
As the future DM, please, no.
I'd be so excited.
Now, wait, who are you again this time? I can't fucking remember.
Today, I'm the Turtle Warrior.
Fuck off.
You may call me Leonardo. But I, like,
but
so...
Michelangelo's the party dude.
So the gnome character would be really good for Eric. But at the same time, I'm kind of sitting here, I'm like, man, I would love to be this elf.
On the shelf?
No, never on the shelf.
Like I said, I like the idea. It's just really complicated with people who don't know what they're doing exactly.
I would play it for myself.
Okay, so...
Steve.
What's the reason for...
You have to make up on your mind on who the fuck you want to be.
Yeah.
Like, I want this one. I want the Turtle Warrior. I want this elf
now. Look, as someone who's only ever played a bard...
I need you to dial it in.
I played 6 different campaigns of D&D on like Roll20, and then in real life that eventually fell apart. And I've only ever played a bard. So now that this whole new world is open to me, I'm like, holy shit. Don't you dare
close your eyes.
Nobody ever said you had to be a bard.
But I wanted to be a bard.
Every
support class
time. So
yeah, all right. That's like I said. Right, I just wanted to workshop some of these ideas.
Do we lock down the gnome then?
I think we'll lock down the gnome for Eric.
Okay, so his parents become paladins,
Templars,
trying to hunt down a warlock who they think killed their son, but it was actually their
son. Eldritch blast!
You must kill him. Hey, is that our boy? Shit.
Oh, and they would have like the crazy Templar armors that like full face plate and everything else.
So they wouldn't even know.
So that one when he kills one, he would take off the helmet and
son, let me see you with my own eyes.
Oh, come down later.
That's so great.
Oh man.
Oh god. Like I said, we spend every week down here recording next to all of our D&D stuff. At this point, I'm like, no, fuck it. I'm going to write my own goddamn book about D&D characters I want to play. Just the adventure of all the misfit characters
like
I come
Kayla's
up with.
It's like cosplay notebook, except it's just all your D&D characters you could use.
Look, if I kill one off once a week, we'll get through your whole notebook.
Well, really awesome. Kotaku just posted an article. Kelly Sue DeConnick retweeted it recently, but it was like a mod for DMs and players to be able to play like over 100 of the different races.
Jesus.
So I'm at a really good point where we can make my original character happen.
The bird?
Not the bird. Not the bird. The one character that I want to keep a secret from anyone that's listening.
Right.
Yeah. The one I told you two about. But the bird turning into the paladin too, the Dark Knight.
Oh man.
Straight out of Dark Souls.
Yeah, that is literally Dark Souls boss.
I didn't realize how heavily Dark Souls borrowed mythology too.
Yeah. There's a lot of different mythology they mess with.
Yeah. A lot of European.
It's a really complicated game in terms of lore.
Never gonna play it.
All I know is praise the sun.
Never gonna play it.
The sun bros.
Didn't you rage quit it?
Yeah, I got to this like poison cave where literally all these like statues shoot poison at you, and every hit's like 25% poison.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm like, this is fucking bullshit. I'm done.
Okay.
And Brandon kept telling me, he's like, oh yeah, that's not even the worst part. I'm just like, wow, fuck this. I'm
that's
out.
That's terrible. All right.
Apparently Dark Souls 2 is like the worst, or like the least forgiving of all of them.
Okay. But now you can play Bloodborne with your PS4.
I could if I really
or Neo Samurai Dark Souls.
Don't know if I want to, though.
Yeah. Like Nier, it's a game that never ends.
Nier?
Yeah, because you finish one campaign.
Well, Nier has a definitive endpoint
eventually.
Yeah, eventually. It does. It has four core endings and then 22 just random ones.
Ah, it's just like Fate Stay Night.
Well, the 22 ones are just like funny little things. Like you can uninstall your Android's OS chip, the credits roll. Oh. Then you start back up to like right before you did that.
So can I be a robot?
No. There's no robots in D&D.
Like, roll a 6-sided die and then that determines my personality for the day.
I can make it work.
Nah,
they just have like 6 spirits living inside you.
Oh my god. I'm the Voltron of D&D characters. It's all
arms.
It's just
hands.
3 different gnomes. It's 6 different gnomes possessing the same body.
Oh my god.
Straight out of Voltron. All right. So that's all I got. I love D&D and fantasy. Zach, what about you? Boy.
Oh, okay. So for me, when does this come out? The 9th. So the day after this comes out, so what? January 10th, the Overwatch League starts its first ever inaugural season.
Woo!
Which I'm really excited about. So there's been a lot of talk of, like, is this going to fail? How well is this going to do? Because every team has that's in the league had to have agreed to invest, I want to say it's like $20 million over the course of 10 years.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like $20 million to build up the league. And like their end goal is to have like actual like home and away matches for like in the cities that these teams are based in. So like an actual sports league.
All right, end goal. Everyone, we're playing in my mom's basement tonight. Our away game is in his mom's basement.
But right now, they're just starting off in LA. And,
in someone's basement?
No, they have an actual arena, which is really nice. Like, they've done a good job with the preseason.
In someone's backyard.
But I kind of want to run down just, like, the details of the season, because I know you guys aren't as familiar with it as I am.
I've never played Overwatch.
Oh, my God. Yes, you have. We have audio evidence that you have.
We have photographic proof on your Xbox profile.
That too.
All right.
But anyway, so I'm going to run down the 12 teams real quick, and then I'll give my thoughts on, like, based on, like, all the analysis I've watched, because there's one of the commentators has been putting out, like, here's, like, a meet the team preview.
Mm.
Of, like, here's what all these players are. This is where they came from. This is all their skill sets. So I've pretty much, like, have an idea of, like, how well these teams will do based on that, but...
I like how you slowly just shift from, like, one esports to the next.
We just kind of got boring. Like, and the commentator that I follow, Monte Cristo, was a league commentator, and then he got Riot kind of shoved him out because he was very outspoken against them, like, because they have a lot of bullshit rules of what their commentators can and cannot do, and they get underpaid a lot, so... but anyway, so the 12 inaugural teams of the Overwatch League are the Boston Uprising, Dallas Fuel, Florida Mayhem, Houston Outlaws, London Spitfire, Los Angeles Gladiators, Los Angeles Valiant, New York Excelsior, Philadelphia Fusion, San Francisco Shock, Seoul Dynasty, and the Shanghai Dragons.
Is the New York one owned by Stan Lee?
No.
Is Excelsior's trademark?
One of the teams is owned by Robert Kraft. Can't remember which one it is. It might be the New York Excel. No, it's the Boston Uprising.
Okay.
But some key details there. So there's really three Korean teams in this league. So three all Korean rosters. There's Seoul Dynasty, obviously. New York Excelsior and the London Spitfire are all three full Korean teams.
Okay. Whatever happens, like, granted, this shows my,
Ignorance,
but like a nicer
lack
term.
Lack of knowledge.
What happened to like Cloud9 and
so?
Liquid?
Okay, so Cloud9, they bought the London spot, so they are the London Spitfire. But then they purchased two Korean rosters and combined them into one because each team can have up to 12 players on their roster.
Right.
So they bought two of the best Korean teams and combined them into one team.
So they're not flat running down with the Cloud9 banner.
No, they are running down with a London Spitfire banner.
Okay, because when they announced like the new Overwatch skins for like, oh, here's the pro team skins and everything else, I'm looking at them like, oh, where's like all the ones I used to know?
Pretty much, yeah. So I'm trying to remember. Dallas Fuel was and Team Envious, so they pretty much just rebranded. Optic Gaming is the Houston Outlaws, or they own the Houston Outlaws. I think Misfits owns Florida Mayhem. Seoul Dynasty is a new owner. San Francisco Shock was Energy, which is the team that Shaq owns.
Right.
So yeah, pretty much it's like they just pretty much rebranded as the actual like host city names. That's what they did. So Cloud9 owns London Spitfire essentially. So those teams are still around in other esports. It's just now they have rebranding.
Okay.
Because that's what Overwatch League, eventually they want to expand, like, all right, hopefully there's a Denver team eventually, like that would be really cool, because they actually had some of the like commentators like out here in Denver doing some of the online preseason stuff, which was really cool. And what was kind of insane was back in college there, my UNC tried an esports team, which I was a part of for a very short time.
Woo!
Which was cool, it was fun.
Yeah,
and we did go to a couple tournaments in this place called Clutch Gaming Arena, and one of the commentators there, his name's Gil Frost, he started doing some of the Overwatch contenders commentary, which was really cool to see. I'm like, wow, that's really cool that guy got there. Did you just get tea in your eye?
Yeah.
How did you do that?
It splashed. Just keep going.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, that was really cool to see. But I mean, this is still in its infancy. And what everyone's kind of expecting is it's not going to be, like, if it's a a runaway success in its first season, and then like Blizzard knocked it out of the park. But just now that you guys have kind of gotten a little bit more info on like how this league's structured, like what do you think? Like, is this something that you would actually be interested in? Because that's kind of Blizzard's goal, is like, all right, we'll have our core audience, but then hopefully with the whole city branding, we can get more, like, more people's like, oh, I've never, there's a Houston Overwatch team. Like, I like that. I know the game. Maybe I'll give it a watch.
For me personally, there's very few esports I actually do follow. I used to follow Halo 5 MLG, whatever their brand was back then.
MLG.
I thought MLG was Call of Duty now.
MLG, or
they run both. Yeah. I used to follow the Halo 5 one, and I used to follow Smite really hard. But I don't know. There's something about esports that I'll watch it if it's on. Like, I was at a restaurant the other day, and they were showing soccer. I'm like, oh, sweet. And then I realized it was people playing FIFA. And I'm like, the fuck, where am I?
See, that's actually one of the hopes that, like, you would hope that, like, bars start to pop up. It's like, oh, yeah, we're going, if it's, since this is going to be a weekly league, there's three or four days a week where matches are being played.
Kalis Plays Dungeons and Drafts actually does show some esports stuff. Like, they show league tournaments and everything. And the owner of the bar is a really big Overwatch person. So I have no doubt in my mind that they would probably do some events for that. But Overwatch is really hard for me. It's really hard for me to watch when people take it super seriously. Like, that's just not my style of entertainment as much. Like, I got really hardcore competitive in Halo and Smite.
Right, but are you talking about from, like, watching a pro player play, or, like, a full, like, pro match? Because it's different between watching, like, a pro player stream and then actually watching, like, a commentated match where the two commentators are experts on, like, what everything's doing, like, what player's doing this because of X, Y, and Z.
I don't know. Like, I would give it a shot for sure, just because I do consider myself, you know, rarely play video games as much, but I do consider myself still a fan of, like, Overwatch and the game itself. But I don't know. Like, I would have to bond myself to a team. I got to pick whatever team sounds like the underdog or has a really cool name.
So, okay. So, with that in mind, this is pretty much, like, based, like I said, I, like, have been following a bunch of commentators of, like, their analysis. Pretty much, they're speculating that Seoul Dynasty is going to win the whole thing because they literally took one of the best teams in the world and then added two actually good DPS players, which is what something they lacked.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're even stronger, and they have an amazing coaching staff. So it's like, if they don't win, it'll be a shock.
Right.
So, and then the New York Excel and the London Spitfire, the two, they could either be two or three. A lot of people are thinking London Spitfire will take number two. So the top, like, non-full Korean team that everybody's rooting for is the Dallas Fuel, because they've been playing the longest, and they've really filled in a lot of their gaps and, like, some key elements that they were lacking. Like, they couldn't, for the longest time, they couldn't play Genji or Pharah. Like, they just could not do
Neither
it.
Neither can I.
So they would work around it, and they'd come up with these wacky strategies that would work, and they were always super fun to watch.
Okay.
So that's kind of where, like, the top four are listed, and then everything else is. Houston, I think, is supposed to be, like, a five or six team. San Francisco Shock's kind of in that range.
Maybe I'll root for Shaq's team just to embrace the meme.
I do find it fascinating that professional sports players are getting into the esports world.
It's a lot of basketball players.
Did you see the guy from the Green Bay Packers?
Oh, yeah. He was like,
he's a streamer for Dota. Like, he streams Dota 2 constantly.
Which Green Bay Packer?
He's a linebacker.
Clay Matthews?
I don't think so.
No, not the one from Pitch Perfect. Okay. But there's a Green Bay Packer player who streams Dota 2, and his handle was like PackersFan50 or something like that, and no one knew who it was, and then he used to stream like under a different name, but it's really interesting to see. It's like, oh my god, these pro athletes have another life besides the sport. They don't believe in the flat earth, they believe in video games, and it's so exciting because they're intelligent.
Right.
Sorry.
Well, it's like the team Echo Fox.
Yeah, it's owned by Rick Fox.
Yeah.
That's actually a meme amongst the Echo Fox community. He's just yelling, Rick Fox!
And like when I found out, I'm like, no, it can't be that Rick Fox.
Yeah, it's that Rick Fox.
And it's like, huh, stop being a pro sport. Went and bought an esports team.
Yeah.
Interesting.
This team has not done too well.
Blake Martinez, the Green Bay Packers, not only tied for leading the NFL in tackles this season, but also finds some time to play Dota 2 on the side. Though he currently plays under Packer Nation 50, he used to play, it's a whole video interview about his induction to the Cult of Dota at the Captain's Draft 4.0 tournament that happened. But his previous name was Pussyfucker 69.
I wonder why he changed it.
Literally, oh, for 6 months, I didn't know I could change it, said Martinez. So I had people at Stanford that were like, I heard you were playing Dota. What's your username? For 6 months, I was like, I don't know. I don't know my username. You should just give me yours. He has a 70.69% win rate as Luna. And then he decided to change it back. Yeah, he decided to change his name. It's a Packer Nation 50.
Huh. Let's check him out.
God.
But I mean, I would love if this, like you said, spread to other cities. Like,
I mean, that's
there was
a goal.
Denver team.
That is their goal long term.
And like, if it got to the point where it's like, yeah, the Denver Overwatch team is playing at the Pepsi Center. Like, huh? How much are tickets?
Nosebleeds are a dollar.
I mean, that's part of the investment money is supposed to go into like actually building infrastructure so they can. I mean, the reason they're doing it all in LA right now is because literally there's no other place that these teams can play in yet.
Right.
Like aside from like Korea where they already have esports arenas.
Well, and it brings up the question, are we getting closer to esports being an Olympic sport?
I don't think it needs to be. Because, like, we have these leagues that already have these teams with chemistry. Like, esports games are so reliant on team chemistry. Like, how well they meld together. Like, you can't just put an all-star lineup together. They just don't mesh well all the time.
You haven't seen Pitch Perfect, clearly.
Are you going to forget about the dream team of the Olympics? The greatest American basketball team?
The Fab Five?
Well, I mean, we kind of already have that with... I guess it's worked before with the Overwatch World Cup, but they have a lot of time to practice for that, and I doubt that if like Overwatch became an Olympic sport that a lot of the players would want to take time away from, you know, Overwatch League to practice for the Olympics.
Do you think they would all wear like matching Soldier 76 outfits because it's the one American character?
Now, before anyone goes out and says, man, esports isn't a real sport, let me read you a
fucking
list.
Need to be.
Let me read you a list of things that are considered Olympic sports. Trampoline.
Well, that's like
dressage.
Okay, the trampoline one.
The trampoline one could it
it's
takes
the
talent.
Summer Olympics.
But dressage.
I didn't think that was still one.
It is.
Okay.
Okay, but
eventing, which is just a triathlon of horse racing.
Here's always been my view on esports as a sport. It doesn't fucking matter. It's a competition. And if you like want to see like the highest level players playing against each other in a competition setting, then it shouldn't fucking matter if it's a sport or not.
Synchronized swimming.
That takes some real talent.
But so does esports.
Yeah, these players
are any athlete who thinks
these players are on average playing 16 hours a day just practicing to keep up their level.
I would kill myself.
Sailing.
Like, it's not just playing video game. Like, video games becoming your job, like, that could be cool. Like, a lot of the, I mean, if you're a Twitch streamer, it's a different reality, but if you're...
You just have to worry about getting swatted.
Well, you... Oh God, we're not getting into that. But you think about, like, some of the best players in the world, like Faker, he lives and breathes League of Legends. Like, that is all he knows. Like, that's what these players do, is they have to live and breathe the game if they want to be the best.
Like, no one ever was.
But yeah. I mean, honestly, like, if Overwatch League gets on average like 50,000 to 60,000 viewers a week, like, I think that's a success for them in their first year. Like, they're not you know, not even expecting to get like 200,000 viewers
for sure
every single week. Like, it's just not feasible with something so new, and it's, I mean, they're still.
Do you
trying
think
to
we're
get
gonna come to the
up.
Point where it would almost have to be like a pay-per-view thing? Like, you couldn't stream it on Twitch anymore.
No, I don't think so. Well, right now it's only available to stream on the Overwatch League site. I don't know if that's going to be the case for the overall season, but preseason was only on their site.
Yeah, I don't think it'll ever get that big. Plus, yeah, I don't think they'd ever. I don't think they're anywhere near the ability to do pay-per-view stuff.
No, I mean, again, that eliminates your audience.
I don't even think League is to the point where they could do a pay-per-view event.
They don't, because they know they're going to lose views and
or
money.
I'm not saying why they... they're not to the point. I don't think they ever will be to the point.
I don't know if they want to, though.
Or an eSport would be able to do a pay-per-view event.
Well, League is so embedded into like the Twitch culture that if it's like, oh, I have to go pay to watch the World Finals? Like, what?
Why do I have to go pay for it? I could see a super special event of like these top stars facing off each other, and it's like a sub only thing of like, if you subscribe to the Overwatch League channel, you can watch this special match. But I don't think they could put the whole league behind a paywall.
See, I think that's the beauty of esports, is that it's so accessible right now. Like, you can literally watch any tournament anywhere. Like, it's not, you don't have to have a cable subscription or anything. Right. Like, I think that's one of esports benefits, is that it can spread to a huge audience. It's like, oh, like, if, like, I'm telling you guys, it's like, I'm probably going to have some of the league, the Dallas Fuel matches on the main TV or something. And you'll, it's like, if you like it, it's like, oh, maybe you'll start watching this.
I just imagine Zach getting like a beanbag chair sitting 5 feet away from the TV. Or you're going to get Steve's, gear headset and just strap yourself in. What's Zach doing?
I don't know.
I think the note works with it.
I think it does. I don't know if it would fit, but it does.
Or Google Cardboard. We have plenty of cardboard laying around.
But yeah.
Yeah, cool. I'm excited for you.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I wish I could be... I don't know. Like, it's hard for me to watch content that's like super serious. Like, I love Achievement Hunter, Funhouse, Game Over Greggy stuff. Like, all that, just because it's a little more comedic based.
Right.
And that's more my speed.
That one of the things there's two commentators, or a commentating duo, Monte Cristo and Doa, that have been casting together for like, I don't know, like 8 years or something now. And they bounce so well off each other that they make the cat, like, they make it fun. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll obviously commentate on like the serious big team fights that are happening, like what's going on here. But Doa will always, he's known for like, what do you think about this lore point? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, why does Tracer rewind time? Like, something just doesn't make sense here. And they'll just go on a rambling of just dumb jokes.
So yeah, I would like that.
Yeah, like, they're my favorite duo because they do that. They just make it fun while there's like dead air in the... In between fights.
Bastion is setting up as a turret.
Yep.
And now we wait.
Yep, they got the Bastion Orisa sitting in the corner there.
Well, Reinhardt is now in front of both Bastion and Orisa. Interesting development. Two tanks, one
the
Bastion.
Cheese.
Oh, yeah. Zarya has now shielded the Bastion. They have five
and
tanks.
Zenyatta has
in
an
the
orb
Bastion.
And a Mercy is sitting on the Bastion.
When did Overwatch turn into golf?
I don't know.
I.e. the most pretentious sport ever.
See, again, like, the sports I watch, like, the only sport I actually watch, you know, British soccer, there is no commentary. It's just you hear the people on the field, and you hear the audience chanting.
Unless you're watching it on Telemundo.
Yes. Oh,
yeah.
It's like the... Oh, man, I've watched some of, the, like, the Korean subbed commentating. I don't understand a word they're saying, but they are talking so fast.
It's not the esports people they have to worry about anymore, sprinkling Adderall into their eyes. It's the commentators, because they have to watch everything. It's like,
it's true, they do. But yeah.
Do you think the Game Grumps will get their own team?
No.
They're good, unless they want to pay for it.
They're really good, but I don't think they're that good.
I don't know if they have 20 million sitting around.
In an interesting turn of events, Cloud9 has just bought Game Grumps. We don't know why.
Oh my god, the Los Angeles Funhouse.
There's already two LA teams. We don't need any more.
Oh god, Sugar Pine, Cow Shop, Funhouse, freaking Kinda Funny, all in one team.
The LA Let's Play.
LA Let's Play versus the Austin Let's Play. And the Dallas Let's Play, there's only two of them. It's interesting. We're not sure.
I think there's only two of them, and they're kind of being assholes to everybody.
They have literally not won a single match or round.
They're actually playing WWE right now. It's very interesting.
What's that? We've heard they're switching over to PUBG because it's popular.
Steve, what do you have for us?
Well, speaking of PUBG, I didn't even know I was making my own transition.
Wow, hey.
Paladins announced.
Oh, yes.
Paladins Battleground, which actually looks fun. They had preview gameplay.
Let me clarify something really quick. You are the only one at this table who has played Paladins.
Yes.
Yes.
Which everyone refers to as the knockoff Overwatch. False. Paladins was in development first. Suck it, Overwatch nerds.
Depends on when Overwatch transitioned from Titan development.
Yeah.
I don't know when that actually...
Look, there's only so many player combinations you can make. Like the Roadhog Paladin, and then the Soldier Paladin.
Lakoa, Victor.
And the Reaper Paladin.
Androxus.
And the Zenyatta's the best character still.
No, Zenyatta, actually.
Zenyatta is actually really strong right now.
They don't have a Zenyatta analog yet.
Side note, I appreciate how just brash and, like, don't give a fuck attitude they have. It's like, yeah, it's called Battlegrounds. Who gives
a
fuck?
Well, that's what every game type is now. Like...
Well, Fortnite was specifically Battle Royale.
Okay.
Anyway.
Let you finish first.
Okay. So, yes, it looks fun. It's not as bad as we were all thinking. I'm actually interested in it now. But what do you think caused the resurgence of this kind of Battleground-style gameplay? Like, what? Not from the developer's point of view, from the game player's point of view. Why did it become so fucking popular? Like, H1Z1 King of the Kill started everything, and from there it was just a landslide of...
And apparently, like, PUBG was a mod for DayZ.
Or it was a mod, I think it was part of the mod, or Brendan Green modded Armor 3, and they used part of it in DayZ.
Yeah, and then the guy, you know, Mr. PlayerUnknown Battleground himself, modded DayZ so that they could do the Battle Royale situation.
He modded Armor 3, which DayZ was also a mod for Armor 3.
So,
or Armor 2.
As the only person at this table that has never played PUBG, nor Fortnite Royale, but loves watching both, I think it's just because it was different at the time. I mean, look how explosive League became. League and Dota are the only games like that that are
at the time. Well, yeah. I mean, there were other games. There was Heroes of New Earth.
Yeah, well, there's Heroes of New Earth, and then DC tried to do Crisis. That failed. Smite, I would honestly still say third place of all MOBAs.
Yeah, in terms of, like, most recognizable, I don't know if it has, like, a huge player base.
No, still, but since it's just so different and so wildly crazy, like, I remember when we went to RTX and they had H1Z1 King of the Kill because H1Z1 still wasn't ready. But watching people play it, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. A little, you know, not my speed. And then fast forward a year or two later, PUBG comes out, and it's like, all right, this is a little different. And I think just because of the hype of... that I don't want to call it arena based because it's not,
but
just the battle royale style. I think a lot of people just got into it just because it requires a lot of coordination versus teamwork or a lot of strategy and thinking.
I think what it rewards the player with is, like, one, you get those high adrenaline situations where it's like, oh shit, there's only three people left on the map. Where I see one guy, I can take him out now, but then I get my position away to the other guy. And that, from what I've heard of people, like, describing their experiences with it, that's what keeps drawing them is just those unique experiences, because every single round is different. Like, you're never going to get a round where it's like, oh, I landed in the same spot and got an M4 right off the bat again. Like, maybe if you're incredibly lucky.
That was H1Z1.
Yeah. It's like the weapon spawns were busted in H1Z1. I think that's what's drawn people to it, is that it's that unique experience that a lot of other games just... Like, Overwatch, I don't get, like, super I mean, there's moments where it's like, if it's overtime and you're like trying to push the cart to the last like little bit, it's like, come on guys, we can do it, we can do it. But PUBG is like, oh god, I'm getting shot from the hill. It's like you're calling out things and you know that you can, you could fight back as well, and you're just trying to get a better vantage point or position. I think it's just, it's such a simple idea that was just built upon really well.
Yeah, Suzanne Collins totally mastered it in her book series, The Hunger Games.
Oh my god.
Which was mastered previously
by the Japanese
in Battle Royale.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a very interesting speed, because I know if I got, the only reason I don't play those games is it's because the beginning is so slow for me and then it picks up super fast, but I feel like I would get addicted to it. I'm like, I hit it hard. I'm like, yep, this is what I'm going to play. And yes, I just didn't have the time for that.
Join me in Fortnite. Join me.
No, I'm playing Star Wars.
Join me in Fortnite.
I'm playing Star Wars.
On my Xbox, but if I'm playing Fortnite on my Xbox.
I'll go sign into your account from my Xbox.
And that still won't work.
Well, you know.
Because the license isn't on that Xbox.
Well, you can play Fortnite on my Xbox.
Or you can play Fortnite with me.
Something else that I think works for it is that it's, if you get a solo chicken dinner, like, you fucking earn that. Like, even if you, like, hit out for most, a majority of the match, or didn't see anyone for a good 10 minutes. Like,
that
if
match
you...
match of Fortnite that I finished third because I hid in a building's basement.
Yeah, you still had to get in range of someone within that last circle to win and beat them in a gunfight.
I can't believe I got to third by hiding in a basement.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, basement. Floor.
Dick. Hide.
Well, if you're someone in the perfect spot, like, I almost prefer Fortnite over PUBG because the mechanics are way different in the sense that you can build shit and change the environment.
Fortnite's also a little more,
it's forgiving.
It doesn't take itself as seriously as PUBG. Like, PUBG is like, if you want the high
intense
competition.
Whereas Fortnite, it's like, yeah, I got a flamingo pickaxe and I can turn into a bush using this.
Everybody's jumping around in Fortnite. PUBG, you can't do that.
Or the fact that you can jump on top of a rocket and fly with it.
And ride it.
You know what's weird? Fortnite, still not fully released.
No.
Like the basic game?
No, yeah, it's Horde Survival Mode is not fully released yet. Because I went to go try out. I was like, it says I got some exclusive characters in it. Let me try it out. The game's not fully released yet, but you can buy an early pass for it if you want. But when it comes out, it'll be free. Like, huh.
I thought the game came out last year.
It's like pre-released. It's early released.
Yeah, your early access.
But it has not come out as the full game yet.
What?
Yeah, I know. But they're putting a lot of dedication into their Battle Royale mode.
I mean,
which makes me wonder, like, are they just going to scrap their Horde mode?
And it seems like it gave new life to Fortnite, because I didn't really hear people ever talk about the game itself playing the survival mode because it got really repetitive. And then now that it has this Battle Royale mode, people are really interested. And I think it's going to do the same thing to Paladins, where you were saying, yes, when you start a game, it gives you 8 characters to choose from. It
gives you 2 of each class, so you can't, it's not like everyone's going to be
Soldier 76.
All decked out. It's like you got 2 tanks, 2 flanks, 2 attackers, and 2 healers. And you can go all attack if you want, or you can make a team comp. And it's not like picking up weapons where it's like one person will be like, oh, I found the scar. I'm a god now. It's you find cards that augment your abilities. Like one could have extra armor.
You can find the cards? You don't have to purchase them as DLC?
No.
Wow, what a star idea.
Oh, wait, you didn't purchase the High Ground DLC?
It could make quite a war.
Ooh.
Why do you think I only play Galactic Assault?
There is no High Ground.
I am the ground. As when you guys were watching me play, freaking Darth Maul Scimitar just cut through my X-Wing. I'm like, the fuck?
Where did that come from?
I'm flying straight up. I'm like, I'm going to take him down. Crashes through me. Just bullshit. It is called a Scimitar, after all. But yeah,
Scimitar.
Paladins looks really interesting.
I was so against it until like I saw them post the video of like, here's a gameplay preview. Like, this is what it's gonna look like, and it's like pre-alpha right now, but it looks awesome and it looks very balanced.
So in that same vein, we've gotten the way Halo came out, what was popular at the time? Oh, Horde mode, Gears of War, Call of Duty Zombies. Warzone.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what's really popular right now? Objective-based dual-lane games. MOBAs. Or multi-lane games. Halo came out with Warzone. Actual Warzone. Like, the current iteration.
Like the capture, like...
Yeah, capture, destroy. I wonder if other games are going to take note of this.
Oh, yeah.
I would play...
Halo Battlegrounds.
I would play Halo Battlegrounds.
Paladin's Battlegrounds is a clear example. It's like, oh, yeah, they're jumping on this train.
So I wonder if there's a developer at 343 that's like... Okay, they're all in a pelican, and you all jump out and you just Spartan smash into the ground, and I'm just imagining that, and I'm like, okay, fuck it, why not?
They did do something that I was questioning too, of the spawn system. Instead of just jumping out of the plane all at once and flying to wherever, you pick the spot where you want to spawn. Like, it has certain parts of the map highlighted, like you can spawn here, here, or here. And it'll show you, when a team clicks on a spot, it'll show you a blip of, like, an enemy team is spawning here, an enemy team is spawning here.
Like, so fuck that.
If you want, you can go balls to the wall, go right into the action, or you can go kind of on the outskirts, which I find very interesting. Instead of, like, is that dot flying through the air going to where I'm going? Maybe.
There's, like, five other people behind us, and they're all heading to the school. What are we gonna do? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would be really cool. And like I said, I would play a Halo Battlegrounds for sure. Like, I never got super into Gears, even when I did play Gears on the Xbox.
Yeah,
it was just Horde mode.
Yeah. I never totally got into it. I only played it because other people played it. And I wanted friends.
I don't have friends. That's why I played Star Wars alone in my little X-Wing.
So you're saying we're not your friends? Fine. That's cool. Whatever.
Well, no, only cool. One of us can play the Starfighter mode cool. at a time.
It's cool.
Okay.
Really cool.
We're not love here. You too, Steve.
That's fine.
Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a second question in my head that I was going to say for next week, and now it's totally gone.
I want to say something really quick, because with, you guys know how Marvel just hired a new editor-in-chief, right? So
say yes for argument's sake.
Yeah.
The guy that was under a Asian
yes,
pseudonym.
The guy who wrote under Asian pseudonym.
Senor Yellowface.
Oh, God.
Please don't.
Look, he was absolutely yellow-facing.
What's interesting, so Marvel's Rogue and Gambit series just came out. It's written by Kelly Thompson with art by Puri Perez. It's a limited series. And this is the first fucking time ever Marvel's ever actually announced something as a mini. Or it's a limited run series.
At least in recent memory.
Yeah. So inside of the comic, it says it's scheduled. Or no. Yeah. It's scheduled for 5 issues. And before... So Marvel's canceled titles like... Or canceled. They're stealth minis, basically. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, yeah. Red Wolf in Starbrand and Nightmask. Black Knight. Nick Fury. Nighthawk. And, you know, our favorite Mockingbird were all stealth minis. The only reason Mockingbird ever got to issue 8 wasn't because of the sales numbers, but it was because of Civil War.
Yeah.
But back in the old days, David Gabriel, head of marketing and senior vice president of sales, told someone that, I'm going to tell you, the limited series is the death knell. The only place that it hasn't been a death knell, which is amazing, is on the Star Wars stuff. Anytime we called something a limited series, it did not hurt the sales at all. You call anything else in Marvel a limited series, and it's dead on arrival. So... one of the big things I'm sitting here, I'm trying to think, because a lot of creators at Marvel, you see them like blasting their series on Twitter and Instagram and wherever else. It's like, hey, make sure you order advanced copies. It's, you know, that stealth mini. If it does well, it gets to stay around. If it doesn't do well, it's randomly canceled and no explanation, because Marvel doesn't even write final issue on their solicits anymore. So, and you have to hear from the writers themselves. Mm-hmm. So, my question to all of you, this is the last question of the podcast, I feel like.
Yeah.
How do you guys view the whole concept of dead on arrival that Mr. David Gabriel said?
I would have to actually see the numbers of like what he's referring to, because I feel like a lot of the limited series, like Mr. Miracle, at least the stuff that DC's putting out, like, the fact that we know it's like, all right, there's 12 issues in this. We know exactly where it's going to end. And I feel like it's one of the hypiest books ever, because it's like, oh shit, we're only 5 issues in, and this is some... There's a fuck ton that's gone on.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think the Dead on Arrival thing's a good approach to your books as well, because then I feel like it makes them look like even more of a bad guy, when it's like, oh yeah, like, from like when I learned that Hawkeye's just fucking ending because, oh, it probably just wasn't selling well enough. It's like, okay.
It's not on the solicits anymore? Weird.
Yeah, it's like I had to go on Twitter. It's like, is this series canceled? Yep, there's Kelly Thompson telling me that, yep, this is going to be our final issue. Like, number 18 or whatever it is.
So, like, even that, so I've seen it almost as like a two-sided sword. I'm sorry, Steve, I didn't let you speak. But it's like, if you say something's ongoing, it's like, okay.
Okay, I get where their head's at, because then it makes them want to, makes you want to buy it instead of trade weight.
But this is the same thing of which we get 3 fucking number ones of Rocket Raccoon in a year. That's
true.
So it's like, why aren't you just calling it a mini? And they're like, well, if we call it a mini, it's going to die. Like, the Star Wars minis do great. Like, Lando is one of the most incredible Star Wars books I've ever read. You know, Journey in the Force Awakens, which is all about Poe's parents, was really cool. But it seems like a lot of the industry places so much value on how many single issues they sell versus the trades. Whereas DC lately, they've been, and again, I suck DC's dick so much. One of the best parts about DC is, yeah, they agree. They say it's like, this is a 12 issue series. Let us have those 12 issues regardless of sales. Or if it gets canceled midway through, like Vigilante did, they're like, don't worry, the trade is still coming out.
Right. I think that's something that a lot of where I get where his head, the Dead on Arrival mentality is, because then a lot of people are just going to straight up trade weight. But I feel like a lot of people already do that with the ongoing. So at least with the limited series, like for us with Mr. Miracle, it's like through 5 issues in, it's like, dude, you, for someone who's not reading, it's like, you need to read the series. Like, go find the 5 issues. It's fucking hype.
Yeah. And see, if it's weird to me, because I hate those things. Like, we get promised that this is an ongoing series. Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy, Luke Cage, all these really cool titles. Oh, wait, Bendis is leaving. Luke Cage is ending.
Defenders is gone.
Defenders is gone.
Jessica Jones?
Jessica Jones is continuing past issue 18.
What else got canceled? Oh, his Daredevil
series. His Daredevil series, that never came out.
Was it Daredevil? It was Daredevil or Punisher, I think.
Maybe it was Punisher. But, like, some series like... sorry, I need to think really quick. But some of these series that come out, it's like, yeah, I can't wait for this really cool ongoing Iceman series. Oh, okay, it's not doing well, it's ending. That was a terrible notice. But one of the things I like about DC, them doing the limited series, like, the DCU is like, yep, 12 issues. Then we're done.
We know, for sure. And that way, it's like, we know, all right, we have a solid beginning, middle, end. We don't have this, oh yeah, now we gotta wrap up the story, yay, we're done.
Yeah, 3 issue back out, like Silk.
Yeah.
Silk had like the weirdest ending.
It's, yeah, like, it's just like, what?
She joined S.H.I.E.L.D.?
She didn't really get to resolve anything with her parents, and now we're done? Okay.
She kinda did.
Kind of?
But
not really?
I feel like a lot of the industry puts so much value over the single issues. Granted, they do make more money. I mean, buying a $20 trade that contains 6 issues versus paying $2.99, $3.99 a month. But then the trade value, like Dan Didio sitting there, it's like, yeah, Midnighter did great, so we're bringing back Midnighter and Apollo for a 6-issue mini. Great! Thank you for letting me know that my favorite character is not forgotten to the lore of DC. Or how Young Animal, and this is one of the bad things about Young Animal, is like, 12 issues, hard end. I'm like, is it continuing? Is there more? Someone tell me. It's like, don't worry, we're all on hiatus until Milk Wars. I'm like, what the fuck's that supposed to mean?
What's a Milk War?
Wait, what happened to Doom Patrol issue 9? How come that's still not out? I'm sitting here, I'm like, where's my Doom Patrol? Milk Wars. I'm like, that you're saying words that I don't understand.
You're just telling me things.
So, like, Steve, as someone who does pick up singles and you also do a lot of trade waiting, how do you feel about the whole situation of stealth minis and whatnot?
Well, real quick, before we get into that, James Franco just won for Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy. And, in his acceptance speech, brought up Tommy Wiseau.
Nice.
Maybe the Disaster Artist was the experience we all learned along the way.
Dude, he fucking killed in Disaster Artist.
I did see one person who was like this actress in Get Out lost to James Franco. It's like, do you really want an actress from Get Out to win for best musical or comedy? That reinforces the fact that you think Get Out is a comedy.
That whole category is fucking dumb. It's like, yeah, what's mark the horror movie as a comedy so it has a chance of winning something? Like, that's fucking stupid.
What about the drama that had a little bit of comedy in it, The Martian? It's comedy. No.
Just because the first word of dialogue is fuck.
Well, I'm fucked.
Yeah. It's funny. No, he's gonna die. Anyways, Steve.
So, okay, back to the topic at hand. I think I don't like the stealth mini. I think it should be a clear-cut thing of like Infamous Iron Man. Had no idea that was not going to be an ongoing series until they're like, and we're done. You're going to be an Invincible Iron Man now. It's like, okay, cool. I would have liked to know that before. I would have liked maybe a wrap-up story.
You said, okay, cool, and it tried to trigger.
Okay, Kukul. No.
No, yep.
Yes!
It's still doing it.
Didn't do mine.
I did mine. Stop recognizing me. Anyways.
But, yeah, I wish they would just be upfront of, like, even halfway through, if you're like, yeah, we're not going to be continuing the series past issue, blah, blah, blah. Give the writers time to be like, all right, now we can start wrapping up the story. It's like, don't wait until the issue before. Be like, and canceled.
Yeah, I mean, we've brought it up multiple times, and Ms. Marvel's the perfect example of something that was intended to be a miniseries. They and get G. Willow Wilson had a clear-cut way to end it at that point, but it just did so well. It's like, all right, we're just going to keep it going then.
Well, and I think the opposite happened for Infamous Iron Man. I think they intended to be an ongoing series, but I guess numbers just weren't as great as they wanted.
See, I felt like that was going to stealth mini, just because it's like, who the fuck... Oh, no, wait, you're saying Infamous. I'm thinking of International Iron Man, JK. Where the fuck is Tony Stark's mom? Okay, we're good.
Yeah, no, like, Infamous to me is like, we're going to keep trying to keep this ongoing series, and then I guess the numbers weren't there. You're like, just kidding. Legacy's happening. We're going to fold all the Iron Men into one title. But still 5 Spider-Man titles.
Yeah, I don't know. I like that Ms. Marvel became an ongoing, but I like that they at least told her, it's like, hey, this is going to be a limited series. Make sure you have an out, so you can actually give closure to your story.
Even if they told the writers, like, hey, this is potentially an ongoing series, we want to see how it goes first,
right?
And then we'll give you the greenlit, but an end in mind.
That kind of seems like what DC's doing. It's either, I wonder if they give the writer, it's like, hey, the series did freaking gangbusters, do you want to make it an ongoing?
Yeah. Or
I'd be curious if that's the case or not. Like, if Mr. Miracle is like, I don't know if it's doing like gangbuster sales, but I know everybody's like
close. It's in the top 5 every.
Is it? Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's like, all right, Mr. Miracle's great. All right, Tom King, you're now in charge of Jack Kirby's Fourth World as a series.
See, I think that would be freaking cool of him building out the new gods.
He's talked about how Mr. Miracle is
essentially
secretly new gods rebirth.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it'd be really cool if Tom King was the helm of
that. He did say, like, at the very end, everything's going to be canon in Mr. Miracle, right?
Oh, yeah. He's already stated that it is.
Or, like,
I think it takes place right after Dark Side War, is what he said.
I think so. Like, everything's supposed to line up at the end of Doomsday Clock. That's the definitive end of this era. And, you know, it speaks to the bullshit of comics of, like, all these events are happening somehow. And it's like, okay, but where is Batman hanging out with the Super Friends? And then he has time for the Justice League.
What about Challenger's Mountain that's apparently in Gotham still right now? Like, we haven't seen that in Batman.
You're telling me Green Arrow showed up for Gotham City Resistance, then went back home to Star City like nothing fucking happened?
Or like in Flash, where it's like, ah, the negative speed force. Oh, gotta do the bats out of hell. All right, now I'm back finding Captain Cold.
It's like, please, timeline for events.
The more I read, the more I'm just like, you know, limited series and like their own standalone stories with like references to the lore makes so much more sense to the average person.
Scott, like, Greg, when did this happen?
I would love.
Horns. Never did.
I would love at the very end of like Doomsday Clock for them to release like just a little pamphlet or something. Like, the timeline of DC Rebirth, of like where everything kind of zigzags. Because again, You got Nightwing, Green Arrow, Teen Titans.
You're telling me
Gotham City Resistance happened, then they all just went back to their own towns?
Didn't they do that before Rebirth? They actually put out a chronological timeline of here's everything that happened in the New 52.
To a degree, yes. Because of all the bullshit with Superman.
And the Bat
family.
That's right.
Because like, oh yeah, here's the New 52 Superman, and then there's Superman from pre-Flashpoint, but they're actually the same person, and then they combine and then fuck up all of history. Dude, let me tell you, Action Comics got really weird with them trying to explain everything with Superman Reborn, and now they're bringing Booster Gold in. It's like, all right, here's how we explain the timeline. Go. Also, rumor has it, Bendis might be taking over either Superman or Action.
That'd be a bold fucking move.
I might pick Superman back up if Bendis took over.
That is a bold move to give. It's like, yeah, he has tenure, but it's like you're giving a guy who hasn't written DC one of your flagship titles.
Yeah. It's like Tom King. I mean, it's like, wrote this Omega Men stuff and you wrote Sheriff of Babylon. Omega Men did get canceled. Tom King literally wrote the worst selling DC book because I think the lowest number for Omega Men was 5,000 after it got brought back. I was one of those 5,000. And then at Vision, he was selling like 20,000. And it's like, all right, you're going to be writing Batman. Hold the fuck up. What do you mean, Batman?
I could see Bendis working well with Superman as like his first DC thing, because Bendis writes good shit, and DC doesn't like its legacies being tarnished anymore.
I just hope they'll
keep him. Like,
look at you, Scott Lobdell.
I just don't want him to mess up the whole Lois and John aspects, because that from the like tidbits I've gotten from Superman, like those are my favorite parts.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I love Tomasi and Gleason on it right now, it's just hitting a crawl. It plateaued pretty hard.
That's kind of why I dropped. I was like, I need something to drop. I'm not really into Superman right now. It's okay, but it's not.
They had a couple arcs where like other people came in, and I'm like, I wonder if they're working on something new. Like Gleason hasn't drawn an issue in a while, so it's like, oh. But anyways,
isn't he doing Super Sons?
No, that's Georgie Menes.
Oh,
I love his art so much. He needs to be on more titles. Anyways. But it's really interesting to see where the world's going, because with DC, they're coming out with their Dark Matter, and currently all those titles are ongoing. And then Young Animal,
I was like, those look fucking
awesome. Young Animal is all mini again. Shade is 12 issues. Eternity Girl, I'm super excited for that one because I loved Eternity Man. That's supposed to be a six issue.
Young Animal?
Yeah. It's a old DC or Vertigo Dark title. Like,
okay.
I'm excited, and we're supposed to get the return of Vertigo this year, so it's gonna be a really interesting blend of events. And
yes, Wildstorm still doing its own thing,
and they can carry more than two. They're carrying two books right now.
I think they're gonna be starting up a couple more, I think.
Mm-hmm. Or even like right now, Batman and the Signal, three issue mini, great. I can figure out whether or not I'm going to like this in three issues. I don't have to commit to it and eventually get rid of it. It's interesting so far.
Yeah.
To say the least. I like Duke.
More Snyder.
Yeah. So yeah, that's it. Because I saw the Stealth Mini headline pop up on Reddit and I'm like,
what is this about?
Yeah. Also, it's major bullshit that Shape of Water did not win. What category was it? Best screenplay.
What did win?
Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Yeah,
come on.
I've heard it was good, but yeah, Fishman.
Coco won Best Animated. I don't know, man.
Anything else important?
James Franco. Sorry,
I'm burping. The Handmaid's Tale won Best Drama.
Shape of Water got Best Score though.
Did Handmaid's Tale? Handmaid's Tale. I was thinking of The Handmaiden.
No, Handmaid's Tale won like three different Golden Globes tonight.
I call bullshit that Handmaid's Tale won over Game of Thrones for Best Drama Series.
You never watched Handmaid's Tale, did you?
Game of fucking Thrones!
Game of Thrones has run its course.
I'm sorry, did Handmaid's Tale have a dragon dying? Did Handmaid's Tale have dragons? Period?
Did you ever read the book? It's a good book.
Did it have dragons?
This Is Me from The Greatest Showman won Best Song.
Still need to see it.
We're just running out of time. Do, 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 do. Ooh.
Best Picture, Drama, Call Me By Your Name, Dunkirk, The Post, The Shape of Water, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, all in one. I've only seen two of those movies. I've never even heard Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
I saw an ad for it. Looked interesting, but...
Best performance by an actor in a limited series of motion picture paid for television, Ewan McGregor in Fargo. Still need to watch that season.
Ewan McGregor is coming back. They're announcing it tonight at the Golden Globes. Obi-Wan, A Star Wars Story.
Him sitting at a stone hut looking at the horizon. There's a lot of sand here.
But let's be real. Why did everyone in Tatooine wear the same exact robes as Jedi did? I don't understand it.
What I don't understand, though, is Obi-Wan's quote of these blaster marks are too precise for sand people. And then every time we see a stormtrooper, they can't hit shit.
Well, have you heard the
there's a theory that they missed on purpose. Yeah. But at the same time, if you take that theory out of account...
Have you heard the other theory?
Huh?
That the Force just lets people do whatever it needs to. Like, the whole reason Chirrut's walking through all the blaster fire and no one's hitting him, even though the dust is kicking up. You're telling me that Krennic's personal bodyguards, people known as death troopers, cannot hit a blind man. And then once Chirrut hits it, then he dies because the Force works in mysterious ways.
Okay, I'll take that and then raise you Order 66. It didn't think any of the Jedi needed saving.
Ahsoka Tano.
She wasn't in Order 66.
To a degree. Fucking Kanan. We're getting he was in Order 66.
Did he fight back?
Yeah. He killed two of his friends that were clone troopers. Have you read the Kanan? Oh my god, it's such a good mini.
Do you have it?
Yeah.
Okay, we're getting too far into Star Wars lore again. As we
Star Wars? What? I'll talk about Star Wars.
No, I'm cutting you off.
How do you feel about midichlorians?
No! Well, you see, this has been a brand new episode of the ZT Podcast. Thank you all for listening. Once again, we're begging you, we're hoping for you. We want you to make us little happy boys and leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, wherever, so it can boost our algorithm and boost us up. The internet's fucked right now with algorithms. YouTube is fucked. Instagram is fucked because they're not showing things in chronological order anymore. It's by activity. So I'm seeing things from 5 days ago. I'm like, oh, sweet, Supermoon. What do you mean it was 5 days ago? Bullshit. So
get your shit together, Instagram.
You don't even have to type out a long-winded review. Just throw 5 stars right at us.
Tell us what you want us to improve
GG.
On. Anything.
Good game. And then you can also leave us a comment at...
ZTPodcast.com/comment.
And we're also very active on the Twitter and the Facebooks, and you can hit us up there. So thank you guys for listening to your brand new episode. Next week, hopefully we'll have something to talk about, or else I'm going to rant about midichlorians.
Oh, no. Nobody wants this. Something happened, please.
They make sense.
No,
I had
they don't.
Okay, no. So my coworker was talking to me about it, and I think